you take your last breath, you're not out of business for Jesus. Even on your deathbed, when you can see Jesus coming for you. Pat's mother last year when she died, she saw Jesus coming in the corner. She saw a light in the corner of the room and says, "Look at that light." And Pat says, "What light, Mom? You mean the stima?" Stima is Swahili for lights. And she says, no, it's over there in the corner. She was seeing Jesus come for her. She was happy to go. She was 85. She was ready to go. Praise God. Got out of that shell of a body that just was wore out. She was excited to see him. Are you excited? Right now. Because you know what? He's with you. When we pray, we don't go this way. We pray right here because he's in there. He's in here. He doesn't leave you. Hebrews 13:5. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Okay? He doesn't. Now, I want to talk just a little bit. Just for a little bit, and then I'll finish here. About 5 minutes. God has been really dealing with me to understand his compassion. Compassion is how Jesus did everything. Compassion is what drove him to heal people. Compassion is what we need. We need the compassion of Jesus. If there's a definition besides love, you would define him as compassion. Compassion, he made a decision to stop and relate to people. Jesus never looked away from people. He always looked upon them and had compassion. Matthew 9:36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion is, we were just singing that song, his loving kindness forever. Forever. Compassion is action. Compassion moves. It doesn't stand still. It doesn't ignore the problem, and it doesn't turn away when someone is in need. If you don't feel compassion from when you go out this door, when you see somebody, and maybe they're not like, you know, maybe some drunk over in a corner, somebody doing drugs, just somebody maybe you just know and you don't like it that you know them. When Jesus looks at them, he sees compassion. In Kenya, we have so many people that pastors lie through their teeth to us all the time. And Pat was praying one day, and God told her, you know what? God asked her a question. He was asking us a question. Did I send you to Kenya? Yes, Lord. Well, then what are you going to do about it? He says, every man's a liar. God's not a liar. If God sends you somewhere, God has placed you in this church, God has gotten you, he's drawn you to him, you are born again believer, he says it's time to go out there, and when you look at somebody, you need to see compassion. You need to have the compassion of Jesus and look at them as a child of God, not as whatever you're labeling them, whatever social economic status you think they're in, whatever it is. You need to look, and let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36 to 38. Jesus made a circuit. This is in the Message Bible, too. I just like the way it says it. Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, Reported kingdom news and healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. When he looked out over the crowds, he had compassion on them. And this is what's interesting to me. He said this. What a huge harvest. Now, think of this. He didn't look at them and think, oh, I don't know if I want to, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that, or they're not, you know, this. They probably wouldn't listen. They don't have, you know, I don't want to mess with them. He looked at them and saw a harvest. He looked at them and saw into their soul and knew. Listen, Titus 2:11, it says, God has put it in every man to know him unto salvation. There is no excuse. Even if they haven't heard, God has placed himself inside of them in such a way that they can hear when he draws them. They can ignore it, but they, if they choose, they can come to him. It says in the Bible, you cannot come to God on your own. He has to draw you. He's drawing every man. And the compassion of Jesus, when he looks at the crowd, when he looked at you. Now, I was born again when I was a little kid. So was Pat. We wanted to be missionaries all our lives. But some of you weren't born again when you were young, probably. And whatever your life was like, imagine if you were still there compared to now, knowing what you know now. Would you like that? Would you like it if Jesus looked at you and said, there's no harvest there. Jesus looked at the crowd and said, what a harvest. A huge harvest. He said to his disciples, how few workers, get on your knees and pray for the harvest. In Mark chapter 1, this is a story, verse 40 to 42, this is a story about the lepers who Jesus healed. And I have just a few short points here I want to mention about this. In verse 40 it says, and a leper came to Jesus, begging him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Well, you know what Jesus said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, be ye clean. Immediately the leprosy left the man, and he was cured. Now picture this. This leper's here. This guy's skin's falling off. He's a mess. Nobody wanted to get around him. He was an outcast. People were afraid. There's no way people were going to go up, get even close to them, let alone touch that person. When street boys come up to us, people often wonder, man, we'll grab them, we'll hug them, and they're filthy, dirty. They have lice in their hair. They'll actually pick them off of their clothes and stuff, and they eat them. Pretty different. And I love them. I grab them, I give them a big hug. And you know what? I haven't got any lice, and I haven't got any disease by hugging and you know. If you share God's love, God's love will protect you from every disease and every enemy. Okay? And Jesus did that with this man. He reached out. No, and listen, the crowd saw him do this. And imagine you're out someplace and there's some people there, and especially maybe when you were a kid and you want to be in the in crowd, you know, and you didn't want to look out of place, and so maybe you didn't speak up when you should have, and there was a need there, and you're a Christian, and maybe some of the other people weren't, but you were afraid. Jesus had a lot to lose. He lost his life because of the way he lived for us. How many of you would go near anyone with leprosy? Let alone touch that person. The leper risked everything, even getting close enough, especially to Jesus, to a rabbi that he thought he was a rabbi. And he was an outcast, as I said. Who did Jesus see when he saw the leprous man? Who do you see when you look at that person out there that when you leave this place? Who do you see? I do this all the time. When we come in the country, I'm constantly looking around, and I know this is God prompted me. I'm looking and said, does that person, are they excited about life? Are they a mess? Do they have problems? Are they going anywhere? Everybody I look at anymore, I'm looking at him thinking, Part of it I know I'm thinking, man, I am so blessed. Pat and I talk about it all the time. We get to travel the world. We are traveling all over the world. We don't have a job. People like you give so that we can go and tell people about Jesus, and we enjoy it. We get to go all over the place telling people about our best friend. And we get to share with them and encourage them that life is not the pits, that life is exciting, that no matter what's going on in Washington, that no matter the garbage that's going on in this country, there's a lot of good things going on, and it's because of Jesus. And if the church will rise up, we, and proclaim the truth, we will be running this place, and the enemy will be running. When I found out, got revelation that the devil in the book of James, when he says, you know, if you resist the devil, he'll flee, I was mad. I wanted to hit him. I wanted him to stay in place so I could cold cock him, and I was upset that he was going to run away from me. I wanted to hit him. I'm serious. That was the way I, you know. And God loves every person that he created, from the worst person. You know what? He loved a lot of people all the way to hell. He did not send them there. Hitler didn't choose him. He went to hell, but God loved him. I believe God loves him today, but he also is a just God, and he has to leave him there. They had their chance. Who did Jesus see when he saw the leprous man? Who do you see? Jesus saw a child of God who was in need. We need to see that. What made Jesus willing to touch this man and heal him? His compassion. We talk about compassion. We need to start living compassion. That means you see a person and you feel and you not just empathize, you actually are feeling what they're feeling, maybe their sorrows and all that, and compassion will prompt you to do something about it. Not to just, oh, you poor thing, and you go, you know, and then tell them some story. You know, somebody comes up to you and they say they got cancer, and promptly you tell them, oh, I had an aunt and she died from that. That's not helpful. No. You can have that compassion of Jesus, and you can love on them, and you can be there for them and do everything you can for them, and you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yes. Jesus' compassion combined with the word heals. His compassion combined with the word heals. This man probably had not been touched for a long, long time. He had probably not been in relationship with anyone for months or years. Imagine you are ostracized, you are out there, and no one wants to come near you. You know, we see people in Kenya walking around, and they're just this filthy, their hair, these men, and their hair is matted, and it's long, and it's just everywhere, you know, and they go out, and they're digging around and stuff, barely got any clothes on. They're walking around and talking to themselves because they've gone deep within, and people say, oh, they're nuts. Well, they lost it because they have no response from a human being. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know to reach out for God, if you aren't aware of that, the devil is going to do everything he can to cause you to believe it's only you and you only, and you'll withdraw. Never having been touched for so long, imagine what this man was thinking when Jesus touched him. In the Pharisees' eyes, Jesus touching this man made him unclean. Are you willing to do something that may provoke others towards you so that you can share the love of God for another person? We face that every day in Kenya. You actually face that here too, but sometimes it's not in your face like it is in ours. Because everywhere we go, poverty is, well, let me put it this way. In America, when you say you don't have any money, you're lying, you got something. In Kenya, when they say it, they don't have any money. I mean, they just don't. That couple that you saw there, that lady, that couple, they have some land that's probably worth $25,000. And they tried to sell it, and their children beat up the people who were trying to buy it, bribed the officials so they wouldn't do it, and have actually beat them up to death trying to kill them. And they're close. They're around 90 years old. Imagine that kind of helplessness. And when we came, they were Catholic. When we came, started sharing the love of God with them, they said, now we know there's a real God who really loves us. Says, you know, and they offered us their property and said, we don't want your property. If you want to give that to another church, whatever, do that. But if we get, besides, if we took it, the people around it, yeah, you just did that to get their property. We're not after that. We saw a need. Pat was actually out Christmas time. We'll go out and take sugar. She takes sugar because the older people, they can't afford to buy sugar for their tea. And so she'll take it around and just share the gospel with them and go around and met them. And they were in dire need. And so we feed them all the time and, you know, and do their laundry and whatever. And they live in a little bitty hut, just not very far from us at all. And there's so many like that. But imagine this leprous man. He was probably almost thought as inhuman. People looked at him, probably thought, you know, they didn't think of him as inhuman. Jesus' compassion, his willingness to share the suffering of that person, is what led to his healing. Your willingness to share the love of God and to share that sorrow and share that problem or that disease or whatever it is, sharing that truthfully, in love, compassionately, is what will cause that person to be. Listen, I believe that Pat said she's talking about physical healing. The truth is, spiritual healing is far more important than physical, but they can both happen at the same time. You know what? It is not God's will for anyone to ever die. It's not. You can walk so much in health. I have not been to a doctor in 41 years, since 1976 when I was a cop. And it was then because if I didn't go, they wouldn't pay me when I was off. So it was about money. It wasn't because I didn't believe. You can walk in health. God has provided the way. Jesus had an unending, powerful desire to end this man's suffering. If we, as a church, as each of us right here, as born-again believers, would look at our neighbors, would look at our nation, would look at our world, our state, our county, our city, with those kind of eyes, the kind that says, I desire to end your suffering. I desire for you to know the truth, the love of God. And if we can do that and share that in compassion, we will see changes. And it won't happen in one, it'll happen at first one or two and three and four, and others will hear of it, and others will hear of it. And you know what? Before long, the whole city. Not everybody will choose. Listen, it's not your responsibility to see that they choose. It's your responsibility to tell them the truth. Amen. God will take care of the rest. And if they choose otherwise, you know what? You still need to love them. You still love them, but you go on to the next person. Jesus had that unending, powerful desire to end their suffering. And Jesus was unafraid to touch him. He touched him. Compassion towards someone is literally sharing in someone else's suffering and a willingness to go there. Compassion can require us getting our hands dirty. And it does not need an invitation. You don't have to wait for somebody to cry for help. Real compassion results in real action. The compassion of Jesus changed the world. Ephesians 4:32 in the NIV says, be ye kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. And you know how you start with this? One of my most favorite scriptures, and I speak this to everyone, and I speak this, and I speak this out for myself, and it's in Psalms chapter 85, verse 8. And the last part of that verse says, I will hear what the Lord will say. John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received. If you understand that, you know that, and you will hear what the Lord will say, he will lead you, not just in the paths of righteousness for your own sake, for you, but for others' sake. We are here to bring another person to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. To the knowledge of the 2 Corinthians 5:18. 5:17 says, when you get born again, old things are past and you become brand new. But in verse 18 it says, we have all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. salvation. We are here to cause another person to know him who is above every name, the name of Jesus. Pat and I cannot say, we can't convey to you, other than just to tell you, we love you and we are excited about what God is doing. And we are excited that you have decided to come along. Whether you ever come to that nation or not, you are there. Because it takes people sending to go, to have somebody to be able to go. And we have gone. You know, we have no intentions of quitting until God says it's time. And probably when he says, if he ever tells me it's time to leave Kenya, I'll probably argue with him because I won't want to leave. We are raising up leaders. Listen, we are not. You know, if Jesus doesn't come back someday, Pat had a dream. She hadn't had many dreams, and she wanted a dream. She had this dream, and she saw us standing up in a pulpit, and there was just a sea of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out here. And then we stepped down off the podium. We started walking through this mass of people, and there are just people everywhere. And she turned to me and asked, when do they ever end? And as we turned back around, we were looking, I guess, out, facing out this way, and we're walking. And we looked back, and we saw people, different people on the podium. We believe that as people that have been raised up, that we're raising up, that because of you, we're raising up, and we were walking this way, and she asked the question, when will this ever end? And then we saw Jesus in front of us, but with his arms wide open. Now that either he's coming before we exit, or we're going to do it till we exit. Either way. And so I want you to know, literally, when we talk about the churches and the numbers of the people and all their, we are not just trying to get a few people. We are taking this nation for Jesus. We are taking Somalia. We are taking Ethiopia. We're taking these nations around here. We're taking, God has told us we're going to put a Bible college in Mecca. Now, I don't know who you know where Mecca is, but in Kenya, right here in Lamu, we're close there. We're right here, 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 and here. We're getting close here. This is all 90% Muslim. This is totally Muslim island. God's told us to put one there. That town, it's a little island off the coast there, and it's a world historic site. You can't even have cars on the island, whatever. Totally Muslim, totally mosque. No ministry's ever been established there that lasts. God's told us to put a school there. So we're going to do it, and it's going to last. But that town is the alternate place to go for their haji, to go to the one lifetime thing if they can't go to Mecca, right here in Kenya. So there's lots of people that go there, but then we're going up here, and we're going up all the way up Mandera up here at the top, right here in this corner, is where Al-Shabaab, which is a terrorist group with ISIS, and they are operating there. They killed. When we were in July and we were here in Malindi, right here, 40 miles away, they killed 100 people right there. I saw yesterday or last night or something, they killed hundreds more all along Somali border here, blew up some stuff in Mogadishu. They are there harassing all the time. The devil is at work. But God's told us to put a school right up there in that corner. If you go out of the town, a quarter mile this way is Ethiopia, a quarter mile this way is Somalia. He's told us to put a school there. He's told us to put a school here in Moales. We have one here. We have over here in Western. And then we're going to have one up here in Lokochoko on the way. And we already have 5 people in the Sudan. God is moving because his word is true. His love is forever and powerful. And I want you to know that when you pray and when you give, it's not for us. It's for all those people. And those people, some of them don't know you. They're crying out to God. I am sure that God has told us to put in these towns, particularly where it looks like we can't go. They're killing people up here. When we leave right here, we have a school 40 kilometers north of Malindi here. You can't see, it's a little tiny town. When you go this way, they require you to take armed guards, guys with machine guns. God's told us to go. And I don't really care. You know, I used to think when I was a young guy in the Air Force in Vietnam, I got to go. And that didn't work. This works. Amen. This works. Okay? And so no matter what, I know that the word's going to go forth. And I believe absolutely that since God has called us to that, the enemy cannot take us out until we accomplish his will. Now, if we're stupid and do something that he didn't say, then all bets are off. But if we follow his word and we do what he says, so when you pray, this is so important, you guys, and I'm asking you. When you pray, you don't pray for protection. You pray for us to hear the voice of God. You pray for wisdom to act on that word. Protection, God is there. I mean, it's like the force, you know, that movie. It's around us. You know? He can't take us out. He doesn't have the right to. Because we're in the Lord's army. We are. And so when you pray that way. That we hear his voice for the next step and the next step and the next step. Yes. Stanley was going to go to that place. He calls us. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here. We were here a couple years ago, and he's calling us, and he was heading up here this way to Garissa. He was actually here, and he was going on up to Mandera. He calls me. He said, it's about 3 in the morning. I said, Stanley. He always forgets what time it is here. And he says, Pastor, I don't have peace about going. He was on a bus headed up there. And I said, by all means, if you don't have peace, do not go. That morning, when that bus left and it went north along here, ISIS attacked them. They pulled the guys off the bus. And if they couldn't say the Shahada, which is the 5 pillars of faith that the Muslims speak every day, pray every day, 28 of them, they knelt them down, hands behind their head, and they shot them back ahead and killed them. And Stanley, one of our directors, would have been, Dennis's brother, would have been one of those dead. He heard the voice of God. He didn't know what it was, and he calls me, what do you think? I think if you don't have peace, don't do it. We have to hear the voice of God. Now, it's not near that way all the time, but we are going into places like that. You need to hear the voice of God right here when you go out this door. You can get killed anywhere. You can get whatever. But more than that, you need to hear the voice of God because there are dying people out there that you never know when it's going to happen, and they need to know Jesus before that does. So I thank you from about Pat and I, we love you. We're humbled that you would even, you know, who are we? Who are we? You know, we sign our emails. Ordinary people serving the supernatural God, and that's the absolute truth. God takes ordinary people in an imperfect world to accomplish his perfect will. Thank you, Pastor.
God. As we get ready for the Aaronic blessing, I feel that we're already blessed with the word that came forward today. I'm encouraged and charged by the testimonies of God moving. And as he said, we do not chase the signs and wonders. The word says that they went and preached the word everywhere, and God confirmed his word with signs and wonders. That's God's job. You preach the word, you teach the word, you share the word, and expect God to confirm his word, because God can't lie. He can't lie. Amen. But as we do the the priestly blessing, the Berakit Kohanim. I want to read Numbers 6, 22 and 23, and then verse 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them. And we're going to say, along with the recording, the verses 24, 25, and 26. But in verse 27, it says, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Well, we know that we have Christ in our heart, but God says these blessings are for the children of Israel. Well, the children of Israel are children of Abraham, and you who are of children of faith are children of Abraham. And so these blessings in the Berakit Kohanim are for you. And God says he puts his name on you when these are said over you. And we do this every service. So let's go ahead.
Yaradanai panav elecha vechunecha Yesa Adonai panav elecha Vesham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you, and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Does anybody have a need that you need from God today? We live in the corruptible bodies, yes. What do you need? Prayer? Come on up. Anybody else? Mike, Pat, would you come up? The scripture that he shared, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I what? Will. It's not his will that you be sick. He wills that you be healed by faith. That mountain that has attacked your body, it doesn't say believe the mountain move, but believe what you speak. Amen. And you are what? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.